chapter 1. We just began last week in this new study of Mark, and we're down to verse 14. So let's begin reading at verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum. Straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. We'll stop there for today. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Father in heaven, once again we come into your presence thanking you for your love, mercy, and grace to us. And we thank you for your word, precious word of God that speaks to us in such a wonderful way and encourages us and strengthens us. We thank you for our Lord Jesus and for all that he means to us today. Pray that you would help us, our Father, to know you better and to walk more closely with you. We pray for everyone who is here today, our Father. You know the need of every heart. There may be someone who is discouraged today, someone who is downhearted. We pray for them. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for anyone who may not know you as personal Savior, that they might come to know you today. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your holy will to be done in each one of our lives. And again, we pray that you'd be with those that are not here today. We know there's some that no doubt are not well today. We pray that you'd strengthen them and bless them, bring them back to us again. We prayed this morning, our Father, for our country. We know we're having the elections very soon now. And for these, even these local offices and the judges and others that are being placed into office, we pray that your will be done concerning each one. We know it's important that the right person be in the right job. And so we pray your will be done there. And we do ask you, Lord, to guide and help us now as we look into your word that we might be strengthened and serve you as we should. May your holy will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. We find here the servant of God beginning his ministry. We've said last week that Mark presents the Lord Jesus as the servant of God. This is the main emphasis throughout the book, and it moves very rapidly through his life and all that he was doing. The servant always busy and doing the Father's will. Here we find out he's starting out, as we began our reading this morning, we see preaching the gospel. This was the main emphasis as he began his ministry. John the Baptist had been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He prepared the way for the Lord Jesus to come. He was the forerunner. But now John had been locked up, imprisoned, because he had denounced King Herod. Herod had taken his brother's wife somehow, and she had now become his wife. And he denounced that as sin against God. And because of that, they put him in prison. Of course, later, you know, they killed him as well. But at this time, he's now in prison. And Jesus comes carrying on the same message that John had brought before, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And as John had introduced him to the people, he quickly then moved off the scene. We find here later on, it will talk some more about John, but at this time he is now laid aside, and Jesus is taking center stage, if you will. He says the time is fulfilled, finally. Now, all these years, the Jewish people had been waiting for the Messiah to come, hadn't they? They were looking for him for hundreds of years. And now he says the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The king has arrived. He's come. He's on the scene. And he's calling upon the people to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the message. Here he's talking about the kingdom of God. Of course, we know this was before Jesus ever died on the cross, and the people didn't understand all that yet. But today, even after Jesus went to the cross and died in our place, the message is still the same. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news. The good news that Jesus took our sins upon himself and went to the cross and died in our place that we might be set free, that we might have everlasting life, that we might know him and have that personal relationship with him day by day. You see? Repent. Repent means to turn away from. Turn away from your own self-righteousness. Turn away from that which is holding you back from God. Turn around and go towards God. Believe the gospel. Faith, faith. We have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in all that he is to us. Believe the good news. Okay, then he comes on down and starts to choose his disciples. We find here these first men that Jesus chose. It's interesting. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he looked out and he saw these two men out there. It says that they were casting the net into the sea. You know, fishing was a big business in Israel, especially in Galilee. There on the Sea of Galilee, that was the main work that they did. And we find that Josephus, the Jewish historian, says that in his day there were 330 fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee. And it's not that big, you know. Fish was the staple diet of the people. This is what they lived on most of the time. They had meat maybe once a week, other than fish. But it was the main staple of their diet. So fishing is very important. And here, Jesus comes along, and he tells these men, these fishermen out there, he says, come, after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So what do? They leave their occupation, this important work that they're doing, and they follow him. It says, straightway, they forsook their nets. Right? Just immediately. It's wonderful. You know, when Jesus speaks, we need to obey. You know? Peter and Andrew could have said, well, you know, wait a minute. Hey, we've got to get these fish to market. You know, we've got to... They didn't, did they? Jesus said, come, and they went. That's simple, isn't it? So often we make things complicated because we think, well, does that really mean to come? And does it mean now, or does it mean later? Or, you know, what's the Lord really saying? You know, we don't understand. But they didn't have any trouble at all. They knew that he was calling them to be his disciples. Here we have Jesus is the teacher, he's the rabbi, and they are going to follow him, right? And so they willingly, it seems, come right out and they forsook their nets and followed him. Now, you might say, well, this is kind of strange. Mark just starts us off as if this is the first time they've ever seen each other. Right? Only that's not true. Because you have to read the other gospel in John chapter 1, and we'll find here that they were already acquainted. Okay? Both of these sets of brothers, Andrew and Peter, and also James and John, whom he called a little later, were well known to Jesus. He knew them. And they knew him. And we find that they were willing to leave everything and follow them. Peter and Andrew left their nets. It says down in verse 20 that James and John left their father, Zebedee, in the ship with the hired hands, hired servants, and went after him. So they left it all behind. Their secure occupation, this partnership that they had as in the fishing industry, and followed after Jesus. Notice with you that they did know him before. In John chapter 1 and verse 35, here we have John the Baptist. It says, again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, or Teacher, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. So he goes on and chooses other men to follow him. But we find here that they were already acquainted and in the fishing business and carrying on this ministry. The other reference I had was here in Luke. Gives us a better idea. In Luke chapter 5, where it's talking here about their occupation and all that they did and how Jesus helped them. Here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Well, that's the Sea of Galilee, same place. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had finished, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, excuse me, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for our draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, apparently James and John, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So, we find these people all knew each other. Isn't that interesting? The first disciples that Jesus chose were fishermen, and they were all acquainted. All four of these first ones. And then later, of course, he chose others, and we'll see that as we go along. But Jesus gave them here a higher calling than what they had. They had been fishing for a living to feed their families and so forth, which is important. Has to be. But he says, you come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to enable you to be able to reach out and help other people to come to a true knowledge of who I am and of what I can do for them. Fishing for men, catching those who need to be brought into the fold, into the net, if you will. And he says, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. We wonder sometimes, how can we be better witnesses for Christ? Jesus says, follow me. Come after me. If you'll follow Jesus, he will make you a fisher of men. That's what he says. And so we need to make sure that we are walking with him, right? The song says what? Just a closer walk with thee. We all need that. And as we draw closer to Jesus, as we follow him more completely, we can become better servants, better fishermen, reaching out to other people. Verse 18 says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Okay, we covered that. And so they're reaching on out here, and he goes and he leads them down to the next place. They move on, and we find the next point here is he demonstrates his authority. Who is this Jesus? Notice in verse 21, they went to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a city there on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus spent a great deal of time. He's moving there for the first time. And apparently, Peter and Andrew had a home there. We'll see that a little later as well. And this is where Jesus spent a great deal of time as his headquarters, reaching out then throughout Galilee, preaching the gospel. So he goes down to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, it was interesting. I was doing some research on this about the synagogue. According to William Barclay, the synagogue was primarily a teaching institution, and I guess it still is. The service consisted of only three things: prayer, the reading of God's Word, and the exposition of the Scriptures. Excuse me. There was no music, no singing, no sacrifice. It was interesting to note that although there were several officials to take care of the administration of the synagogue, there was no permanent preacher or teacher. It was up to the ruler of the synagogue to call on someone to give the reading and the exposition. This is the reason that we find Jesus is able to go to the synagogue and teach. They recognized him as a bona fide teacher, a rabbi, see? And so he was able to go in and begin teaching wherever he went, every place. The same thing with Paul later on in his missionary journeys. You remember when Paul would go to a city, the first thing he'd do would be to go to the synagogue. And it says in one place, he and Barnabas were there, and the ruler of the synagogue said, "Brethren, do you have something to say?" And they got up and preached about Jesus. And here, so I thought that was very interesting. I didn't really realize that. I probably should have. But at any rate, I learned something this week, so that was good. And about the synagogue services. Now, at the temple, of course, they did have the sacrifices and all there, but not in the synagogue. And then we find that Jesus shocked the people with his teaching. It says they were astonished at his doctrine. He was bringing a message that they hadn't quite heard before. It was a different type, a different emphasis. Notice it says, he taught them as one that had authority. You see? Not as the scribes. Now, the scribes were those who were the experts in the law, those who studied the Old Testament scriptures thoroughly, knew them backwards and forwards and so forth. And also, many times they would quote one another, they would quote the other rabbis and so forth and so on. But here Jesus expresses himself with authority. They didn't have this authority. You see, he's somebody different. He's someone who is able to speak without quoting someone else. He knows because it's his word to begin with. And he spoke with authority. And then we find he's interrupted. This man with an unclean spirit, apparently a demon, a filthy, evil spirit who had taken control of this person. He cries out in the middle of the service, you know, disturbing what's going on, no doubt. Probably everyone looked around and thought, what's his problem, you know? Who is this guy anyway? What's he doing? But Jesus said, the demon said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't that interesting? The people didn't know who he was. They thought, you know, well, this is just another teacher. He's come down from Nazareth, right? He's going to teach us the Word of God. But the demon knows who he is. The Holy One of God, you see. Here is the Lord himself who has come. And this evil being recognizes this. You know, Satan knows who God is, who Jesus is, much better than we do many times. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, "Hold thy peace." Says another way of putting that is, be muzzled. Close your mouth. Shut up. How about that one? It's kind of a loose translation. But anyway, that's what he's saying. Hold your peace and come out of him. Jesus commands him. And it says that the unclean spirit tore him and cried with a loud voice. He shrieked. He didn't want to do it, but he couldn't help himself, you see, because Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. He has all authority. And here he's speaking to this evil spirit and casting him out of the synagogue, out of this man there in the synagogue. And they were all amazed. Can you imagine? How would you like for this to happen this morning? Huh? All of a sudden, something like this that would occur, we'd think, oh, well, who in the world is that? You know. But Jesus has the authority. He can do unusual things, right? We go along from each time and have our services and so forth, and everything is so beautiful and so nice and so orderly and so dignified and everything else. This didn't sound too dignified, did it? Huh? Can you imagine how that would be? And everyone was amazed. They were astonished. And they questioned each other, saying, what is this? What's going on here? What is this? And what new doctrine is this? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits. You know? The people in that day were extremely afraid of the evil spirits, right? The demons and so forth. And they would take control and cause people to do all kinds of strange things. But here we find Jesus is able to cast them out and to make this man free from the control of the devil, to set him free. It's wonderful to think how, you know, Jesus is able to do that. He sets us free from our sins. He sets us free from our burdens, our heartaches, if we will allow him to. And that's what he did for this man. And immediately, it says, his fame spread abroad through all the region round about Galilee. Can you imagine? The tongues were wagging, huh? As soon as they got home from the service, you can imagine they went to the neighbor. Hey, did you know what happened in the synagogue this morning? Huh? And on and on and on it went, right? His fame spread abroad, and he became more and more famous, as it were, as a miracle worker. You remember even later on when Jesus was arrested, Herod wanted to see him. I want to see him do a miracle, you know. This is what he wanted. And Jesus wouldn't even speak to him. So often we like the extraordinary things, you know, things that are different, strange. But Jesus wants us to follow him, right? To live for him, to serve him. It's not just these miracles that he's able to perform that we should be interested in. Like later the people, because they were fed, they wanted to follow him, you see. But no, it's because of who he is. He is the Lord. We are his servants. And we are to follow him. And spread abroad his name, yes. It's a good thing. His fame spread throughout all the region. And people came out to hear him over and over again. And it's good. So, thinking about this, indeed, who is this man from Galilee? Who is he? Is he simply another teacher? Or is he the one with all authority, as he said, in heaven and in earth? His message was repent and believe the good news, the good news of salvation. The kingdom of God has come. He says, turn from your sins and place your faith in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the message that we give to those who have never come to trust in Him. That's the message they must believe, isn't it? He is the Savior. And for us as Christians, have you heard His call? Are you listening? You know, some of us, I think, we figure, oh, well, the Lord can't use me. Who am I? I'm just a simple person. Well, who was Simon Peter? Who was Andrew? And James? And John? They were fishermen out doing their work. And Jesus called them. He might call you or someone else. He is the Lord, and He's able to call those whom He pleases. And perhaps He's speaking to you for some specific thing, some work He wants you to do. And we need to be listening and obey His voice. He's won the victory, and we can look to Him and rejoice in that. He's able to set us free from all the burdens, just like He did this man there in the synagogue. Cast out the demons, cast out the burdens, cast out all of our cares. He says, fret not yourself. Don't worry. Cast all your care upon the Lord. It's not easy, is it? And yet, it works. And then He asks us to spread the word. Spread the word. Let others know who He is and what He can do for them. That's what we need. That's what we need in America. People need to know the Lord. And we need to spread the word that He is available. He is here. He is with us. May we be able to reach more and see them come to Christ and be saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word to our hearts this morning. I pray that you will speak to us, help us to be obedient. May we immediately do what you tell us to do. May we be faithful. May we serve you in the way we should. May we honor and magnify your name. Help us to be good witnesses for you. To those all around us, our Father, there's so many people that know nothing about you. We pray, O God, help us. May Jesus Christ be glorified. And we'll thank you for it. In His name, amen.